This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Chris Ranji filling in on 670 The Score. Good to have you with us tonight. And it is time to go to our guest line this evening. And we bring in Chicago Bears beat reporter. He covers the team and has for a long time for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's with us now on 670 The Score, Patrick Finley. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm good. You say a long time, and it has been since the first Mark Trestman year, which means I have seen zero playoff victories.
And Patrick, every Mark Trestman year counts for 3 years.
It's like dog years. Yeah, it'll be seven.
That's exactly right. It's like dog years. So what is the? Well, let me just start there. Well, what has this offseason been like to cover after what was as eventful of a Bears season as we have ever seen, certainly in the last 10 to 20 years?
Yeah, it was, I consider it certainly the longest Bears season I've ever been a part of. You know, starting with Caleb Williams getting drafted, which was exciting, and then getting into Hard Knocks and the Bears reporting early because they played next preseason game, and then, going on that horrible losing streak and going overseas and firing Matt Eberflus during the season. Yeah, it was a eventful, kind of exhausting year, I think, for everybody around Halas Hall. And Ben Johnson and the fact that the Bears were able to get him certainly provides a breath of fresh air and a reason to be hopeful. And that alone, I think, is worth a lot. But when you combine that with the fact that he's good at the thing that the Bears need most, which is offensive play calling and quarterback development, and when you combine that with the fact that the Bears did something, kind of like when they drafted Caleb Williams, that the Bears did the thing that everybody else in their position would have done too. And that doesn't usually happen. Usually they end up with Mitch Trubisky in these sorts of situations. But the Bears, made the obvious hire. And I think everybody's pretty excited about what that could portend for the future.
Yeah, there's has been historically for them a lot of trying to be cute, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the cute just doesn't work.
Yeah, and we joke about Trestman. I said this at the time, and I believe it still. I would love to live in a world where a soft-spoken football coach can treat all of his players like adults and expect the same respect back, and that would work, But when that happens, Lance Briggs goes to Sacramento to open a barbecue restaurant on the first day of practice of the first week of the season. So, yeah, the Bears have tried to be cute in the past. You look at everybody since Trestman, and, they've kind of tried every flavor of coach, a defensive assistant, an offensive assistant. They actually hired somebody who had been a head coach before, which hadn't happened since, I think, before automobiles were invented or right around then. And Ben Johnson, though, among all of those guys, is by far the most accomplished, short of John Fox, and I think requires the least amount of projection going forward. At the very least, I think, he's going to run a good offense, and that's something that Matt Nagy never could. And, you talk about running a good defense. Matt Eberflus ran a pretty good one, but never got them up to the level that I think
they went and did the thing they rarely do, which is get the head coach who was available. I know this has sort of been, this has been parsed out quite a bit in the weeks since they have done that, but it really just does feel like there's a different feel around the way this offseason has been, and we don't know what kind of head coach he's going to be. But it kind of seems like from the press conference, from everything that has happened so far, every time we have heard from him or heard people speak about him, and we won't know till games start, till that first snap, but it really does, Patrick, seem like they have a guy.
Yeah, they have a guy, capital G, and that doesn't happen very often. You know, I've heard people talk about, you know, Ben and his personality, you know, fans who say that, you know, that they can tell that he's going to be X, Y, or Z. And you said it. I mean, the guy has given two press conferences total since he was hired. You know, he's shown up, done a couple of national interviews, but that's about it. We don't know a lot about him. Shoot, we don't know how he is going to react when something bad happens for the first time. And, you know, I'll tell you this, we're probably not going to, you know, see that moment in March, April, May, June, July, or August. So, you know, even if you feel really excited about him, and I think Bears have every reason to, you know, it's by far, it's not a slam dunk, even though it seems like a better bet than the assistant coaches the Bears have bet on in the past.
Visiting with Patrick Finley, and it's all about the offensive line during this offseason. We know about Jonah Jackson, what they did there, and Joe Thuney, and how big of a deal all of that is. Would you say that the line is now good, or do you still want to see them go a little deeper here and see if they can find themselves some additional help?
No, I don't think it's good at all. You know, I was putting together a list of what I think they still need for a Sun-Times story, and I still have offensive line at number one. I think they need a starting center. Drew Dahlman is going to be the name everybody talks about. He's going to be really expensive, but he is somebody who Pro Football Focus has had in the top five the last 2 years. Boy, if you could put him between those two guards, I think you'd really have something. And you'd have something not just in a talent upgrade from last year, but kind of in the way you want to build this offense. You know, the whole Drew Brees idea that if you've got an undersized quarterback, you better have good center and good guard. And I think the Bears absolutely need to lock that down. Also, Braxton Jones, you know, I thought he was iffy just kind of in theory coming into this offseason. And then he got hurt. He's recovering from ankle surgery. I don't know if the Bears can rely on him. I think finding competition for him, whether it's from Karan Amagaji, who is on their roster and I'm sure is looking forward to trying to have a healthy season, or somebody that they draft, and I think that's important. It's a huge need for a lot of reasons. You know, we can sit here and talk all day about, you know, providing for Caleb and how that is the most important of the important things, but it's the most important of the important things. And that's still number one in my book.
You don't want to overcorrect in the situation, but it almost feels to me, and I'd like to get your thought, it doesn't feel like they can overcorrect when it comes to the offensive line. You can't be strong enough there.
No, you can't. And, you know, if they end up replacing four out of the five starters, like, okay. I don't think, you know, for a lot of reasons, that's fine. One of which being that, you know, three of their five starters are free agents starting on Monday and are probably going to end up somewhere else. So you're going to have to replace them one way or the other, and spending a ton of money to fix this problem, I think, is really important. And it's really important beyond Caleb. You know, Ryan Poles, you know, sat there and told us at the start of the season last year that, you know, he had O linemen that he cut tell him, like, hey, you know, this is the most talented group I've ever been on. And he talked about it being the deepest group the Bears have ever had. And he really talked a good game about this O-line. And then it was clear really quickly that they were not very good. So, you know, Ryan Poles, you know, has got some work to do to build up his reputation again this season. And I think the fastest way to do it would be to fix the O-line and to emphatically fix it. And, you know, the Bears have got money to throw at it. They showed us that this week. And I think there's still a little more left to go get a good center.
So it really feels like that's the question is, because you're talking about somebody with an offensive line background in Poles, and he did blow this line up and say, oh, man, these guys are good. We have more depth than we've ever had, like you mentioned. So the question is, does he really know how to evaluate talent, or was he just trying to pump these guys up before the season started and knew that maybe there were some deficiencies?
I think he decided that rather than going for high-end talent over the last couple of free agency periods in the last couple of drafts, that it would be better to try to do it with depth. And, you know, we spent all season looking at this. When you look at the good teams, I mean, there's not a lot of rocket science to this. Like, the good teams have guards and tackles that they spend first and second round picks on, and other guys that they throw a ton of money at in free agency. Like, it's, and then you look at the Bears, and you had Darnell Wright, who is a first round pick. You had Tevin Jenkins, who was a second rounder, but boy, you know, couldn't finish half the games he played. And everybody else, you're just trying to kind of manufacture some sort of product out of late round picks and, you know, and 1 year free agent signings. And, you know, that's just not the way it's done. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the Bears sometimes tried to be too cute by half. I think that's part of what they fell victim to here.
Patrick Finley covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's with us here on 670 The Score. And so now that they've made these two additions here, they're has now been a lot of talk about what they'll do with the other side of the ball. Tanner Hendrickson is available now, and everybody's talking about him, whether or not they, or Trey Hendrickson, excuse me, whether or not they should go that route and make that happen, give up draft capital in order to do it. There's the Jonathan Allen possibility, just, you know, spending money and nothing else. What do you think, first of all, they're going to do? And secondly, what should they do there?
I think they might sign Khalil Mack. That's what I think they might do.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, the Bears posted a social media video on Friday afternoon of 47 seconds worth of defensive highlights from over the years. And it included Jalen Johnson, Charles Tillman, Julius Peppers, maybe one other player, Brian Urlacher, and a whole heck of a lot of Khalil Mack. The first highlight was Khalil Mack. The last highlight was Khalil Mack. And a highlight in the middle was Khalil Mack intercepting a pass. I think they might go get Khalil Mack. And if you could get him at 2 years at $20 million you know, per year, boy, I'd rather do that than trading a second-round pick for the privilege of making Trey Hendrickson the highest-paid non-quarterback in the NFL. I mean, that's to me, Mack would make sense. And, you know, he has, you know, since he went to the Chargers, he's only missed one game. I think Bears fans would have been surprised to have learned that. And, you know, he has been a really solid pass rusher there. I think he would make a ton of sense. Now, what else could they do? I'm a huge Jonathan Allen fan. I think he would make a ton of sense here. Like I said, you know, he is like Mack. He is just old enough that you could probably give him a shorter term deal and get away with it. And that's always a preferable thing, I think, if you're a team. If we're talking about finding an edge rusher on the cheap, Chase Young, the old number two, remember he was the number two overall pick out of Ohio State, who went to Washington. He spent last year with the Saints, where he played under Dennis Allen, who's now the Bears' new defensive coordinator. I think he could be a useful piece, so long as you probably didn't ask him to play the run very often. There are a ton more names. Harold Landry's available. Joey Bose is available. There's no shortage of household names that are there. I think the flavor the Bears might end up with is Khalil Mack.
You know, I would love to have, that would be such a great story to have him come back, and remembering how excited all of us were in 2018 that they traded for him, and he was a problem for other teams, especially early on in that season. And it just, it would be so great to have him come back. But I have the same feeling I think a lot of other people do, and that is you get worried when a guy's 34 and he's starting to get to that age where it isn't quite there for him. And while he's been solid, you worry that there's going to be a massive drop off. You don't really have much concern with that now that he's getting close to his mid-30s, or, well, I guess 34 is your mid-30s, right?
Yeah, as somebody in his mid-40s, I sure as heck hope that 34 is a mid-30s. I think that when you look at his ability to stay on the field the last 3 years, to me, that's impressive. And, you know, at 20 million, it sounds strange to say, but, you know, at $20 million, $20 million ain't what it used to be. And, you know, I don't know that any of these guys, you know, Josh Sweat with the Eagles is another one. You know, I don't know that any of these guys, if you throw that sort of money at them, are going to come in and give you 15 sacks a season. But if they give you 10 or 11, and if that makes Montez Sweat a pass rusher again, because he really wasn't last year, I think that there are some benefits there Listen, if you're a dominant pass rusher, you're not getting to free agency. And you know, when you look at the free agents here, they're all flawed, and a lot of their flaws are that they're older. You know, also, I mean, you know, let's talk about, there's somebody over in Cleveland who I think any team in football would love to have, but I think that that's going to cost you in draft picks in a way that might be prohibitive for a lot of teams.
Patrick Finley covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he is with us here on 670 The Score. The first season for Caleb Williams was, I think, to me, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, he's still getting a lot of criticism, and one of the things that it drives me absolutely nuts is seeing, for example, Instagram posts about Williams from the official NFL account, and then making myself angry by reading comments. And a lot of the comments were, oh, he's a bust, and, you know, we knew it was not going to go well. And I mean, the way I look at him, I feel like he did pretty well considering everything he had to deal with. I mean, that's not an easy situation to come into in your first year and still put up what he did, throwing very few picks, right?
I would, let's put it this way. I'm not selling any of my Caleb Williams stock. I think he still has a chance to be the greatest quarterback the Bears have ever had. And yes, I realize that is a very low bar that I am setting. I think the odds are far greater that Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus were the problem than it being Caleb Williams is the problem. Even Thomas Brown, as much as we all like TB, you know, all three of those guys didn't necessarily go out and get promotions this offseason. They all took lesser jobs.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that, because they did a pretty lousy job with Caleb Williams. I think Caleb still has every bit of ability to be really, really good. Now, the flip side of it is he needs to learn the best way to be a professional quarterback day in and day out. That's not a shot. That's not me calling him lazy. That's not me saying that he doesn't, or that he never does the right thing. But I think he needs to be shown the best way to get the most out of him. And I don't think that was always the case last year. One of the things that really bothers me about the way the Bears handled last season was, you know, when Brett Rypien left at the end of the preseason after being a preseason superstar, the Bears didn't keep him around. And the Bears never gave him a veteran quarterback to help mentor him. You know, they said that Ryan Griffin, one of their assistants, would kind of play that role. But I don't think it's the same. And I'll be really interested to see whether Ben Johnson decides to bring a grizzled veteran guy in this year, just to help Caleb with just that everydayness of this. And you know, I think that Tyson Bagent has a chance to be a pretty good quarterback in the NFL. I really do. But he's not the person, you know, as a rookie, you don't want to lean on a second year guy who made four starts. You know, you need to lean on people who have forgotten more NFL football than you've ever learned.
Yeah.
I'd be curious. Yeah. I think it would behoove them to bring in one of those guys.
I love, and I know people are tired of it, but I still love playing the Patrick Mahomes exercise. And everything that he stepped into, the situation coming in behind a veteran quarterback with a really good head coach, had a line that could play by the time he stepped in. And we talked about all the position talent, the weapons that Caleb Williams had going in, but you would take the Kansas City Chiefs situation for a young quarterback 100 times out of 100 over what Caleb Williams stepped into. And I'm not sure Mahomes is Mahomes if he's in Chicago.
Yeah. Andy Reid is a giant part of that. Alex Smith during Mahomes' rookie year, Alex Smith was amazing. You know, this wasn't just some guy just getting along. This, I think he might've led the league in passer rating that year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you add on to that he was such a good teammate by all accounts. And I think all of those things, you know, there's not one direct line to it, but you put in this, you know, kind of stew of all the things that you need. And Mahomes got the right ones. And, you know, I think the Bears were really aggressive last year in trying to give Caleb everything they could. I mean, they were installing the playbook with him in March, like 6 weeks before they drafted him, because they wanted to give him a head start. And, you know, all of these pretty progressive things by Bears standards, kind of blew up in their face by midseason. It's not like it was touch and go there for a while. you know, we knew 10 weeks into the year that this thing had gone off the rails pretty good offensively.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think we overstated, and maybe it was just the excitement of everything, the excitement of getting the number one pick, and we knew who it was going to be, and the receiver Adunze, and you know, Keenan Allen, and you're like, wow, this is a pretty good receiving core. It's we fooled ourselves, right? Didn't we fool ourselves into thinking the situation was better than it actually was?
Yeah, I think we presumed that they'd have a league average offensive line, and they didn't. I think we presumed that DeAndre Swift would be better than he was. There's part of this too, and we talk about this at the office all the time. Like, I think fantasy football kind of impacts the way we look at this stuff. And, you know, I just think that when you see three receivers, all of a sudden you're sitting there going, what are these guys going to do to help my fantasy team if I draft them? Unless you're a degenerate, I'm pretty sure nobody's got pancake blocks or or combo blocks in their fantasy league. And I think that just makes us kind of overlook, you know, some of the very basic building blocks of the NFL. And in the case of the Bears offense, it was, you know, putting a hat on a hat, trying to block somebody.
All right, Patrick, 3:00 on Wednesday. That's when it gets going, right? Nothing is going to happen between now and then.
No, absolutely not. No, there aren't deals already agreed upon. No, there's a legal tampering Monday. You will see deals agreed to, and I'm putting that in air quotes. You can't see, but I'm putting air quotes.
Yep.
You will see deals agreed to a half hour after legal tampering begins. And that's because, you know, teams have been doing their due diligence, even if it's over a drink at the combine or, you know, 6 months earlier or anything like that. So, you know, as you get into Monday, I think most teams are going to know what the market is for the players they want, that you'll see some agreements come to pass pretty quick. And then on Wednesday, the team gets to send out the press release at 3:00, get to schedule some press conferences, and do all that sort of official stuff.
Well, you can just take the next 4 or 5 days off. No big deal.
Hey, they've only made 2 trades in the last 4 days. Yeah, I mean, what are the odds that there are a couple more coming?
Patrick Finley, covering the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. You're the best, man. It's good to talk to you again.
Hey, you too.
Patrick Finley with us. Let us know what you think. 312-644-6767. The phone number to text. Chris Ranji on the score.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Download the Odyssey app, search for 670 The Score, and tap follow to receive alerts on our coverage of the Bears offseason. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer. They're breaking down all the key storylines as free agency starts next week. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris Ranji tonight, filling in for just a little bit longer. We've been talking a little bit of Bears. We had Patrick Finley from the Sun Times joining us. Bruce Levine talked a little bit. Actually, we talked some football with him, too. Bruce, I think that's a really funny story that was texted in earlier about Khalil Mack, that during when that trade happened, it must have happened on a Saturday morning, and inside the clubhouse happens on Saturday mornings, and the trade happened, and instead of going to baseball, we were wall-to-wall with Khalil Mack coverage, and Bruce Levine had to host it. Bruce, who's all football, or all baseball. He had to be all football that day, which I love it.
I want to go through the archives and find that. That sounds super entertaining.
Well, I had moved. I was already gone out of town, and I remember waking up and looking at my phone, and my reaction was, oh, F, and I said a bad word. I was looking at Twitter, and I saw the Mac trade, and I got very excited. And he was still a great addition, and as I said to Finley, I like the idea, the romantic idea of Khalil Mack coming back to Chicago, being a Bear for a year or two or whatever, and looking like he looked in a Bears uniform, especially early on, and just wrecking quarterbacks. I love that idea of a comeback. I don't know if it's going to be the best for them, and as much as I like that, I like the nostalgia of it. There's a huge part of me, and maybe this part is bigger, where I want them to take a big swing, and I want them to go for somebody like Hendrickson, even if they have to give up draft capital to do it. And maybe this is stupid. Maybe this is foregoing a little bit of the future to make that happen. But man, you get a game wrecker like that, or somebody who can make their defense infinitely better immediately. That's going to help out Caleb too. That's going to make his job a whole lot easier. And in any area where they can make his job exponentially easier, you do it, because a good defense helps out a quarterback a lot. It's not just the guys who are on the field around him. It's not just the offensive line. It's not just the weapons he has to throw to, or the running back he has that he can hand off to. It is also the defense. The defense can play a big part in what a quarterback does, and in keeping him from having to always come from behind and have to sling the ball all the time because they're trailing by 14 by the end of the first quarter, you know? So if they can help defensively that way, I'm in. I like that idea. And yeah, maybe giving up the draft capital wouldn't be the smartest thing, but I am really struggling
from being smart and prudent to taking big swings. When you have a guy like this, I kind of want them to take big swings. And I could be talked out of this. I'll admit that. You could make an argument, and I might even cave on that very quickly. But I do feel like I want them to do something bold here. But first things first, to me, continue to upgrade the line. Continue to do everything you can to upgrade the interior. This text message from a 262 says the Jags are still, to this day, a huge piece of crap. And I thought they were talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then I remembered we were talking about the Carr Jaguar earlier. And that I guess, and actually maybe the text applies to both.
Chris, maybe have you ever been in a Waymo? Do you know what a Waymo is?
That's the automated car, right?
Yeah, yeah. Did you know that those are Jags?
They are? Aren't they always confused? Aren't the Waymos always getting confused, like they don't know where they are?
I'm sure there have been plenty of stories of that, but rode in one last week, and I was in Arizona, and I just could not believe that these driverless cars are Jaguars on the road, and you're just, it's just like the Uber app, you call Waymo, and a Jaguar with no driver pulls up at your front, your house.
Look, the talk show that I do normally on sister station KMOX, it is we do some sports, but it's a lot of everyday stuff and current events. And we have been talking a lot about the technology and the self-driving cars. And I know that this sounds like super old guy, but man, I am still just not sold on it. And I don't think the technology is nearly good enough for me to want to get into those. And it's not that I feel like I'm going to get into a wreck. I don't like the idea of not being able to tell a driver, hey, you're going the wrong way. And, oh, the car is stuck behind another car at a traffic. That is, yes, a deer. Or there's this video of a car at a traffic stop, and the car in front of the driverless car has stalled. But the car behind it, driverless, can't move and doesn't know what to do. And so the people are in the back seat stuck because the car in front of them is stalled, and this car they're in doesn't know how to go around it. So I don't want to be stuck like that. And I would rather have an Uber or a Lyft driver or a cabbie that will not stop talking to me than have no driver at all. That's where I'm at with technology. And I swear I'm not that old, but that's how I feel. When we come back, we are going to talk to Alyssa Bergamini, who is the pre and post game host for the Chicago Bulls right here on The Score. Also the in-game host at White Sox Park. That is coming up next. Man, I love hanging out with all y'all. I'm glad you have me here. Chris Ranji filling in tonight. Alyssa Bergamini is next on The Score. It is 670 The Score in Chicago. Chris Ranji in tonight, and it is time to go to the guest line tonight, and we bring in one of my favorite people. She is, well, you'll see her at White Sox games. She's always there. She's always on a microphone. She's always on the screen talking to people and shouting at you. And she is the host of pre and post game coverage for your Chicago Bulls on 670 The Score. It's Alyssa Bergamini with us on 670. What's happening, dude?
How are you? You know, I really said yes to this for two reasons. Mm-hmm. I am off on a Friday evening, so of course, what else would I want to do than talk to the one and only Chris Ranji on 670 The Score? And I know your birthday is coming up, so this is my pre-birthday gift to you, is to come and be interviewed by you.
Wow, this is great. What a very thoughtful gift.
I know. I try my best to be thoughtful, and I know you like your birthday. Some people are birthday people, some people are not, but I know you're a birthday guy. So this is my week before gift to you.
I know you're a birthday guy. I don't even know how to take that. It's like,
I think it's a compliment.
Is it?
I think it's a compliment. I would say I am someone, I actually like my birthday as well. I'm not like walking around with a sash and a crown, but it is fun. It's, you know, you're entering a new year. It's kind of like a fresh start. That's how I look at like opening days. I'm like, fresh start, clean slate. So that's how I think about birthdays.
Okay, that's fair. You're not one of those birthday month people?
No. My birthday is April 30th. It's the last day of April.
Yeah,
I can't be doing that.
Right. Yeah. You just
Just one day. One or 2 days. You know, maybe three.
Yeah, we were just talking off the air, but we're going to get into Bulls and Sox stuff. Don't worry. But Alyssa and I are having a moment. We were just talking about our birthdays and how mine always falls on St. Patrick's Day weekend. So if you go out to celebrate on the Saturday, everybody's out for St. Patrick's Day. Nobody's out for me. They don't care about me. They're out for the Green River and the green beer and all that. They don't care about my birthday.
Yeah.
And your experience a little different.
Yes. So as we were talking about that, I said, you know what? One year, unfortunately, my grandpa's wake, Grandpa Bergamini, I'm sending you love from above. His wake was on my birthday. And, you know, I like to spin negatives into positives. If you know me, if you don't know me, that's kind of my personality. So I did get to see all my family members because it was the wake and they all knew it was my birthday. So that was my experience with my birthday one year. You had people coming out to see water dyed green. So everyone has a story. And that is mine that I would like to share with everyone listening on the airwaves.
Well, so you will ever have that memory of your birthday coinciding with your grandpa's funeral.
Yes.
There you go.
So Grandpa Bergamini, big sports fan. So here we are still talking sports.
All right. So Bergs, here's the deal. This Bulls team, it was funny because I was with my coworkers at my station in St. Louis, and we don't really ever talk NBA or anything like that. And we were just having a conversation like, oh my gosh, you can be well under 500 and still maybe make the playoffs. And that's kind of where they are right now. Are you surprised that at this point?
I'm not surprised. And this rubs people the wrong way. So the Bulls had a really big win last night. And I say big because they won 125-123 over Orlando. Orlando also in the Eastern Conference. Kobe Light had 44 points. Now, of course, you're Kobe White. That is a night that he will always remember. But Bulls fans, as well as, you know, maybe some people in the front office, I don't know who else, maybe Bill Lennington, they want the team to not do as good as they are right now because, you know, using that word tank, which I don't necessarily agree with, but a lot of people want the Bulls to tank. So every time they get these wins, that's less and less of a chance for the Bulls to be part of the lottery pick. So right now the Bulls are 25-38 on the season. They hold a 3.5 game lead over the Brooklyn Nets and the Sixers for the final play-in spot in the Eastern Conference. So again, play-in spot is kind of a do or die situation. We saw the Bulls in it last year against the Atlanta Hawks, the year before against the Miami Heat, and it doesn't really get you much because once you're out, you're out. And hey, maybe they do win the play-in tournament, they win the play-in games, and then they would go on to say play the Cleveland Cavaliers. So the Cavaliers, rightfully so, I believe they're going to beat the Bulls. So that really leaves you in that spot then where if you're looking for the future of the Bulls, right now they are a very mediocre team. No Zach LaVine. They're trying to find their identity. Yes, I brought up Kobe White with 44 points, but you have to look at the future. And they've been kind of in this spot for a while now. I like to say consistently inconsistent. Me and Bill Lennington always talk about it. That's exactly how this season is going as well. So I think we may see the Bulls again in a play-in situation. I am someone that I don't really like the tanking aspect because I like working games, but that is me talking from a professional standpoint. So I got to look at it. I have many different versions of myself, like the fan Alyssa, the employee Alyssa. So fan Alyssa, yes, of course, future. We want the Bulls to excel and have those lottery picks of, you know, Cooper Flagg on the team. But current employee Alyssa, I want to work more Bulls games in this season.
Oh, employee Alyssa trying to get the bag. Good for you.
You know how it goes in the sports industry.
Yeah,
the better
that
the team does, the better that, you know, you do.
It's true. No, you're that's a thing. The people, and I want to get to the fan base here in a second, because I'm floored by how supportive they are, even though things have been what they've been for the last several years. But that's a thing that people don't realize that much. They like to think that our jobs are better when teams suck, so that we can come out and we can complain about them and we can make things up and just get angry. But it is so much better when the teams are good. It's infinitely better.
Yeah, I like to use the word draining, because how many times do you really want to talk about, you know, they were coming back, they were battling back, but then they lost. And yes, there's always more to pick apart when a team is bad and is losing. I think that's just how life kind of is too. Misery loves company. So I think that goes for, unfortunately, both the teams I do work for, although I love them both, but it is right now with the White Sox and the Bulls. That's what's going on. Misery loves company. And yes, you brought up the fan base too. And I have to say, at the United Center, regardless of really what the record is, the games are packed.
Packed. That's,
they really are. Like, whether it's a Tuesday, a Wednesday night. I mean, like, here in Chicago tonight, it is snowy, it's raining. They're not playing tonight, but fans still come out. They still show up. It is still the Chicago Bulls, which I think also is a problem, because they do have fans that are still coming and still showing up despite this record where they're 25-38 on the season. They only have 11 wins at home. They're 11-22 at the United Center. And we're in March, and there's only the last regular season game is April the 13th. So time is winding down for the Bulls to capture some wins at home. They're 14-16 on the road. But yeah, this is what Vegas also predicted. They thought the Bulls would be a 25.5 win team. We're at 25 wins right now. So it's definitely going to be the over. They were wrong on that, but yeah, they set the bar really low for the Bulls this season.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, you mentioned it right there. This is still one of the best attended basketball teams in the country. No matter last year, I think they were number one overall, if I'm not mistaken. This year, you're still talking about a top three or four team in attendance. People are still coming out. I'm amazed at how supportive everybody is. And what's bothersome is they're just not getting rewarded enough for it.
Yeah. Also, what helps too is that the United Center is one of the biggest arenas. I think, you know, now next to the new Intuit Dome, which is in LA, I think it's one of the bigger arenas. So that definitely helps. But yeah, I mean, going back to just even last night, Coby White had this statement game, 44 points. That was a career high for him. He shot 7 of 15 from three. So you have to take the good with the bad, because then you're thinking, is Coby White someone that is going to be the face of the Chicago Bulls moving forward? There's a lot of injuries right now. Again, the season is winding down, but really trying to find their identity and really the next step for the Bulls, because I think that's really a question that keeps arising. What is their identity moving forward? Because right now, again, it's really mediocrity, and they're very, very much in the middle. And we're very, very much going to be in a play-in game is what I am predicting.
A broadcaster here, Alyssa Bergamini. You know she's a broadcaster because she's on 670 The Score. She hosts pre- and post-game coverage, also works for the Chicago White Sox, and that's where she and I first met.
This is true.
You were working there. I was working there. It was one big happy family, and the team wasn't doing all that great. So
at that point when I started, it didn't affect me that much. Hey, I started in 2013.
Now you're desensitized.
I'm desensitized. But at the time I was like, this is the coolest job. I'm a White Sox fan. I'm working for the White Sox. There's Chris Ranji. He's on The Score. So 2013, fresh Alyssa. I was ready to go. I know that wasn't even a good year either.
Oh.
I worked two playoff games in my entering my 12th season now. So I'm still with the squad, still with the organization, still love them despite, you know, last season with that 121 loss.
I did that job for 10 years even, and we went to one playoff, and they won one game. They lost in four games to Tampa Bay in the division series. That was in 08. But when I started, it was the first year after the World Series. So everybody, everybody
right
was,
after.
Oh gosh, you couldn't have felt any better about going in. They just won the whole thing, right? So I came in at a perfect time. They win 90 games, and they miss the playoffs. And then we know what happened from there. So,
And you probably had some nice callers then at that point.
Oh, well. Well.
Kind of.
Well.
Kind of.
Early on, yes, but it didn't take very long. I say this a lot about, you know, just in hindsight, looking back, I look back at it very fondly because I love how much White Sox fans care. I love how much they care about it, even if they are far more passionate than a lot of other teams. And I mean, like passionate in an angry way, because they have, let's be honest, they've been let down a lot. They come out, they're supportive, but they get let down quite a bit. And over the years, I didn't really understand it until I think several years later. But I love that. I love how much they care.
Yeah, I like to use the word grit. I would say White Sox fans are gritty, and they I understand just as much as the next White Sox fan that these have been some trying years. I mean, there was this window of opportunity where we thought at one point we could even win the World Series, and I have to give a shout out to my lovely mother, Rhonda.
Hey, Rhonda.
Hey, Rhonda.
I love Rhonda.
She's a big White Sox fan as well. And I think once it became like 2021, 2022, 2023, she was like, is this, we were supposed to win the World Series one year? I'm confused. What happened? Like, she wasn't confused. We understood what was happening. But yeah, there was, it's been such a roller coaster. We had, again, I'm using the word we because I'm a fan as well as someone that works within the organization. We just have been on a roller coaster. And I think that really gets to your emotions. Sports at the end of the day, everyone has their job, and this is supposed to be the outside factor. This is supposed to be our entertainment and how we get away from our problems. And then when the problem becomes maybe the team that you're rooting for, that again, back to my word, draining. It becomes draining. I get told all the time when I'm at the ballpark, they're like, why are you, like, you smile so much.
Well, what are you supposed to do?
How are you still smiling?
You can't.
I just have to say, this is, at the end of the day, we're at a baseball game. Anything that's happening on the field, I hate to tell you guys, it's out of my control. I do not have some magic wand. I wish I did. I wish I did, like Glinda, the good witch, and I could fix all the problems. But Alyssa MC cannot do that. I just try to make the experience for all of you White Sox fans out there the best one possible from the time you park till the time you leave. I don't know how I got on this topic, but that's what I just,
I think I started it. Yeah. I put you down that path. Alyssa Bergamini, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
That's Alyssa Bergamini from 670 The Score, and that is the show. Want to thank Alyssa, want to thank Patrick Finley and Bruce Levine for joining us tonight. Also want to thank our producer, Alex Kuhn, who is just, he's the best. Alex Kuhn is the best. Have a terrific rest of your Friday night. Enjoy your weekend. BetMGM Live is next. I'm Chris Ranji. Talk to you soon on 670 The Score.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.